So you know you're gonna have to take me to soccer practice and stuff. Now you're going to be able to drive, loser, was the way Nick, his 13-year-old brother, greeted him, mouth full of half-masticated eggs. Or I might dump you off on the side of the road somewhere, dweeb. Barry gave him a heartfelt shove, collapsing on the bar stool next to his brother's. I still don't know why Mom doesn't just teleport us everywhere, Nick griped. Do you know how much gas that would save Mom? He widened his eyes in awe. You could save the planet. Their mom turned from where she was flipping omelets. I highly doubt us driving one less vehicle would have a substantial impact. I don't need your dad's comprehensive statistics to understand that. Besides, saving the world single-handedly is not my job. My job is to... Barry smacked the back of his brother's head. Great, now you got her started on reciting fairy duty again. Dania put her hands up. Okay, fine, I'll shut up, but just because it's your birthday. The boys both chuckled, and Barry helped himself to a large plate of bacon and omelet. Maybe I'll go off on the birth of my oldest baby instead, she grinned, and Barry groaned loudly, although secretly he didn't mind that one so much. Oh man, at this time 16 years ago, she looked at the clock, you were almost out, so I was screaming my head off. My mom could not believe I was going to have an unmagic birth, but I did it without any spell relief. What time was I born again? Barry asked, a little shy but pleased to be the center of the day's attention. 9:42, Dania said, watching the clock closely. So 16 years ago in about a minute, if these clocks are right. She turned and smiled at him. Which at my stroke of 16 was exactly when I got my... Oh! She'd stopped mid-sentence and cried out. Barry didn't know what about, as he finished chewing his bite of eggs, but he followed her gaze. Her stare pointed to right above his head, where he looked up to find a narrow stick hanging in the air. That was strange. It looked like his mom's wand, sort of. Except hers was a reddish-brown, and it was hard to tell what color this one was. But it wasn't the same. He set his fork down, staring at the thin rod above him. Out of his peripheral vision, he saw Nick staring at it, too. What is that for? Barry started to ask, but before he was able to phrase it as a question, the floating stick began to move, dancing above his head like a wooden ballerina, looping in circles and swirls, getting faster as it went. Suddenly the stick erupted, with purple, gaseous-looking sparks of light, jumping off of it like misty little firecrackers. It then descended quickly and began swirling around Barry's head and shoulders. It abruptly became clear that whatever it was doing, it was here for him. Mom! Barry cried out, not a fan. It's okay, sweetheart, just wait, she soothed him through the purple mist. The purple became suddenly more potent and sparkly, and Barry was lifted off the bar stool, held aloft by warm purple sparks, his limbs extending outward without his having much control over them. Nick's bar stool squawked loudly against the kitchen floor as he backed quickly away from the magical pyrotechnics. The wand shimmied and swirled around Barry's legs, and he felt his toes point and slip into shoes as warm, tingly light flooded over them. His leg muscles felt like they were contracting, and as he looked down, he saw them shrink in both length and thickness, and his red-brown leg hair suddenly vanished. The mist moved upward, clearly intent on its mission. It reached his cargo shorts, which suddenly melted and blurred into a purple liquid, which then fanned out and rippled around his legs like a gravity-defying purple water feature. But before that could settle, the mist shot between his legs, and Barry gasped as he felt all of his external features there abruptly sucked inside of him. His boxers seized like shrink wrap, forming some sort of briefs, illustrating to him that it suddenly wasn't hard to hide everything in his nether regions. He was so shocked the rest seemed to go faster. The flowing liquid around his hips solidified into a short poof of some magnitude, something akin to a tutu, its color still a soft purple. His organs compressed next around his belly button, while his t-shirt melted and reshaped itself. Barry's head was abruptly thrown backward by the force of two purple mountain majesties bursting forth from his pectoral region in a spray of sparks, their sudden weight bewildering. He was nearly hyperventilating as his shirt morphed into a glittery skin-tight bodice, which secured his unrecognizable torso in place, but dipped low enough to demonstrate a generous portion of his brand-new features. His arms shrank and thinned too, his sleeves becoming little wisps of sheer off-the-shoulder fabric. The mist tickled his throat, Adam's apple shifting, and then he was hit in the face with a puff of magic, and it finally felt like a magical egg had been cracked on his head and was dripping down his hair. Hair of new lengths brushed his bare shoulders, and Barry was afraid to open his eyes. Was it over? Would it put him down? But the magic's final act presented itself in a tingly warmth on his back that made him want to stretch like he had a knot between his shoulder blades. With a puff sound and an explosion of air, Barry looked in time to see large iridescent wings burst out of his back with a butterfly's flourish.
He could immediately feel those too, and he moved them slowly with terrified awe. They flitted easily, like moving his own eyelashes. The mist hissed quickly back into the otherwise unassuming-looking floating stick. Barry was set gently back onto the kitchen floor, and noticed he was wearing shimmery purple high heels, held on by delicate straps around his now slender ankles. Without thinking, he held an ethereal little hand out, and the wooden stick merrily dropped into it. The wood was stained a muted periwinkle he could see now. Barry just stared at it, trembling. The kitchen was totally silent, except for the regular morning sounds of birds and cars from the oblivious world outside. Out of his periphery, Barry saw Nick was gaping, frozen with his mouth wide open. Barry turned his head to look at his brother, and then at his mother. Curls tickled his shoulders when he moved, and as some fell down on his face, Barry realized his hair had turned a bright lilac color. All the pieces matched, and yet still couldn't be comprehended. All Barry Anderson had wanted for his 16th birthday had been the ability to drive on his own. Instead, it seemed today was going to be about why the crap he was standing in his kitchen as a full-fledged powered-up fairy girl.